We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, today I conclude the discussion of the subject, the Model Church. One church, one body, with one head. The Lord's Church, the Model Church, which had its beginning in the city of Jerusalem, was a united church. The Church of Christ is an organic institution, but without self-government as a church. The church is not subject to nor directed by councils, synods, presbyteries, general assemblies, or conferences. The government is not democratic, but a monarchy. Christ only is the supreme head. He has absolute authority in the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, the apostle declared that God gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And Jesus himself declared that all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28 verse 18. It must be understood that although the church is subject to the divine authority of Christ, and without self-government as a church, it is composed of many congregations which are self-governing, independent bodies, subject only to the authority of Christ, and not subject to any ecclesiastical power or authority of any group of men on this earth. No power on this earth has the right to rule the Lord's church. The original church, Christ's church, the model church, was subject only to the authority of Christ. My friends, the model church is one body with one head. This is important because there is concern among human beings who want to know something about the head of anything of which they are a part. If one seeks membership in a social club in the community, he wants to know something about its head, its leader. Before we send our children to college, we want to know something about the head of that institution and what it stands for, the philosophy that it might have concerning education. If we're going to invest our money into some business, we want to know something about the one who's the head of it, the president of the company, the chairman of the board and the directors, who will decide the policies of the firm. But, my friends, we are in the business of persuading people to become Christians, to enter the church about which we can read in the Bible. It is only right that we should make known to you something about the head of the church, as well as the basic nature of the church itself. In the giving of the Great Commission, according to Matthew's inspired account, the Lord commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, and in so doing, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. According to the intense import of the Greek text in this passage, Jesus promised to be with his disciples in the execution of the Great Commission all the days. This was even to the consummation of the age. That means till the very day at his second coming. Each generation of Christians who compose the Lord's church on earth passes and another rises to take its place. But the exalted head of the church, Christ the Son of God, will remain the head until he returns to receive his church to be a glorified congregation of people throughout all eternity. In fact, the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. My friends, may I say to you that all people, all religious organizations, whose heads are mortal beings, must recognize the fact that such institutions could not be the church over which Christ is the head. Jesus said, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that is, his church, in Matthew 16 and 18. Heads of churches of human origin die and are constantly replaced by other human beings. I ask you to consider these facts. This is not true with the body of Christ, over which Jesus himself is the head. The Roman Church lost two heads in 1978 in less time than 2 months of each other. Ellen G. White once headed her religious group, and she has been dead now since 1915. Mary Baker Eddy headed her group and even denied the reality of illness and death. but she became sick and died in 1910. Her religious group lost their head when she went the way of all the earth. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young once headed the Mormon Church, but neither one has been around for a long, long time. Both died during the 1800s, Smith in 1844 and Young a third of a century later in 1877. Charles T. Russell and Judge Rutherford headed the Jehovah's Witness for a number of years, but both men have long been in their tombs. Russell died in 1916 and Rutherford in 1942. It seems rather ironic that Rutherford, before his death, wrote a book entitled Millions Now Living Will Never Die. He should have written, or might have written, Millions Now Living Will Die. And that would have been a correct statement from him, for millions have died since then. Jim Jones headed his church, the People's Temple, but he died in 1978, either by suicide or by murder, taking into eternity with him some 900 deceived souls who had complete confidence in him as the head of their church. Deep infamy and now covers his name and tarnishes his memory. There is positively no room for more than one head. The Bible never speaks of there being more than one head of the Lord's church. The various names and designations by which the church is known in the Bible absolutely precludes there being more than one body with one head. The Lord's church has never been headless, which makes it different from other religious institutions headed by men. A man may establish a profitable business, and he may be the president of the company for a number of years. Yet the day will come when death will retire him, and another will arise to take his place. A man may head a great school or university for decades, yet death will sooner or later overtake him, and the mantle of his leadership will fall upon the shoulders of another. Among religious groups, man may begin a small group and cause it to grow into a large organization or institution under his leadership, but the day will come when he too will pass away and another will rise up in his place. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? With the Lord's church, the matter is vastly different. Christ established his church on that memorable Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, the record of which is found in the second chapter of Acts. Since that memorable day of the church's beginning, it has never been left headless for such as a very brief moment of time. You may ask, why? Because Christ is the head of the church and he will never die. The Bible says of him, in contrast with all the high priests that died continually under Judaism, and they indeed have been made priests many in number, because that by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he abideth forever, hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. Hebrews 7:23-25. As long as men are lost and need to be a Savior, that long Christ will be remaining the head of the church, his church. As long as God's people need an intercessor, Christ will remain the head of the church. The Bible teaches that Christ has one body, one church, one body with one head. The Lord's church has never lost its head, because death no longer hath dominion over Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The inspired writer of Hebrews wrote, "For the law appointeth men high priests, having infirmity, but the word of the oath, which after the law appointeth a son, perfected forevermore." Hebrews 7:28. The son, as a high priest over his house, the church, could not be perfected forever unless he is destined to live forever. This same great truth is affirmed by Paul in his profound letter to the Romans. He wrote of the never-dying head of the church. He said, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him." Romans 6:9. Christ is the head of the church, the body, because the church is in subjection to Him. The Bible says, "But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything." And Ephesians 5:24, Christ is the head of the spiritual body of the church, the bride of Christ. The church of the Lord is the bride of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the head of the church because the church is His bride. Paul told the brethren at Corinth, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused unto you one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ." 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. The Lord's church has never been left a widow. The Bible speaks of Christ as the bridegroom and the church as His bride. In John 3:29, John the Baptist spoke of Jesus as the bridegroom, while he, John, was simply the friend of the bridegroom. To the Romans, Paul wrote in Romans 7:4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." The apostle presents most conclusively in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 32, that the church is the spiritual bride of Christ, and that He is the indisputable head of the church, His body. In giving an analogy of marriage relationship between husband and wife, the apostle presents a very definite conclusion. And I say, are you listening? "And for this call shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church." Included in this analogy, the inspired apostle declared, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being Himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything." The apostle concludes with the true bond of marriage, and with an application, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for it." Ephesians 5:23-25. Christ is spiritually married to the church. He is the head of the church, and at no time for any cause has there been a separation or a divorce between Christ and His church. The church of our Lord will never be left a widow. The church, His body, will never be looking for a head. Christ is the head of His church, and He will never die nor be deposed. It has now been some 19 centuries since Christ took the church to be His bride, which is even identified by His name. During all this time, the church has never been left a widow for any reason whatsoever. The Lord's church has not known a single day or hour of widowhood. There will never be a separation between Christ and His church. Who would want Christ and His church to become separated anyway? Who would want Christ to divorce His church, His bride, and marry another? Beloved, no man is the head of Christ's church. Therefore, no man has the right to legislate to the church of the living God. This is the complete prerogative of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of His church, the head of His body, and Christ is the only head of His only church, His only body. One church, one body, with one head. The world today needs the model church. The model church may be a reality today if we go back to the Bible and follow the pattern of the divinely instituted church which Jesus built, revealed by doctrine and practice in the New Testament. The model church is the right church, so right that it cannot be wrong. How there is great need for unity of the body of Christ. Before the Lord's church was established, our Lord prayed to the Father for unity. He said, "Father, I pray for them that they all might be one, even as Thou art in me and I in Thee. not only for them, for all who may believe on me through their word, he said. The Lord was praying for you and for me today. Yes, for the men throughout the world today, that we should follow the divine pattern given to us in the Bible. If we would be like the model church, we must be like the Bible. We must follow the divine dictates of the word of the Lord to be like the model church. Unity was a burden on the Lord's heart before he was crucified. Division must be a burden on his heart today. In the writing of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, he admonished the church of the Lord in these words, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. The original church of our Lord was a united church, united in heart and soul in the work of the church. Yes, today there is a need for unity among God's people. The model church in Jerusalem was a united church. And, you know, the daily increase of its membership was amazing, reaching a membership of some 10,000 people within a very short time. Today, the world needs the model church, the one church, the united church, the one body with one head.